from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Tommy Kester, and we are getting closer and closer to the start of the real football season. But we had a second preseason game underway over the weekend. Everybody threw that for the most part, so we can go through that. We've got Royals, a fantastic weekend if you're a Royals fan. It's all coming your way today. The IHOP hotline is open for you to talk about all of it. 869-1240, that's brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's where we'll find Jad Chambers today. Thanks for watching us, by the way. If you're watching on any of our video streams, 12 News Connected on X, on YouTube, on Facebook, we appreciate you watching the show. You can always go back on 12 News Connected and watch the shows in the past. If you missed anything, you can also go back on the Odyssey app and listen to the show as you drive around. If you're not with us live here, we appreciate it. Everybody taking in the show, however it is that they take it in. Glad to be here with you. We're festive this morning because kind of everything went right. You made it through a Chiefs game. You got a behind the back pass. Nobody's really big injuries to talk about out of that game. All that's good. And the Royals get a sweep. And Tommy, we're feeling good as we're getting closer to the quote-unquote fall season here.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Glad to be here today, back on a Monday. Busy weekend. A lot of, obviously, you know, talked about the Royals and their sweep, which I know we're going to get into, the Chiefs, the preseason game from them. All of that, I mean, it was busy, it was fun, hot outside, but a good weekend overall and glad to be here.
It was. We had a good time. Speaking of hot outside, sweating our butts off on Saturday before the Wind Surge game with the all-ball softball tournament to benefit Shepherd's Way. What a great weekend of events. Tim Tebow was in town to talk about that. Happy to be there with those guys. That was a lot of fun. We'd invite you to check out the Shepherd's Way organization and what they're doing because it's really, really cool. And it all came to a head on Saturday. So if you were out there, thanks for coming. Thanks for supporting that group. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we make our way through it in a great Wind Surge game, as always, right after that. Even though it was hot, that's all right. We had our first big time, you know, soccer games in the, you know, in the more, I don't even know what you call it, intense, maybe intensive little leagues, and that was supposed to be outside, but they moved us indoors, and it was awesome. We got to be in the air conditioning for that. A little bit of time at the pool. It's, you know, we complain about the heat, but it's going to be gone before we know it. And then we'll get the fall for like a week and a half, and then it'll be really cold, right? That's usually how this works. So I'm not going to complain about it too much, because I hate the cold more than I hate sweating like that. And it's close, but I hate the cold more, especially the older I get. So I'm not excited to see the summer go, but I am excited to get to the fall, because that means we get real football. We're just a couple of weeks now from the start of the college football season. We're a little more than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. The Chiefs are in Ravens prep mode now, Tommy, and we'll get to the Chiefs in the next segment in that second preseason game. But we've also got a playoff baseball chase, and that chase got to looking a whole lot better after the weekend for the Royals. So they do what we say they need to do, which is beat on the bad teams. And they beat Cincinnati. They beat them in three games. They beat them convincingly. Lucas Ercik for president, I think, at this point. Not a save situation yesterday, but he sure saved their butts. Came in and gave them more than an inning again. Bailed them out of a tough situation. They go ahead and secure the sweep, which was fantastic to see. And now it sets up, and you want to keep that momentum going back at home against an even worse team in the Angels. And the best news of the weekend, Tommy, Cleveland drops three in a row. So now the Royals are just three games back in the division and have a pretty good cushion in the wild card. That was a fantastic series for the Royals.
Well, it really was, and it was complete baseball all the way around for Kansas City. It had been a minute since we had really seen that kind of complete outing with both pitching and the bats in the lineup. I mean, they outscored the Reds 28-3 in the three-game set. 28-3. Now, obviously, we know the Royals and their run differential throughout the course of the entire season has been one of the best in Major League Baseball. But when you've got a plus 25 run differential in three games against Cincinnati, I mean, that's going to skyrocket your rankings, too, when it comes to that. So all in all, just, you know, an incredibly complete and solid weekend for the Royals. It showed, again, why they are a legitimate contender. It's not fluky. Even though it's been up and down for them, even though there are clear deficiencies with this team, overall, when they can put it all together, they're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. They put it all together this weekend. And, you know, I don't even know. I know you mentioned Lucas Ercik, you know, and I think that's a fine place to start. But I think that, you know, I don't really know exactly the best place to start overall because of how complete it was. I mean, you can point at the way the bats came alive. You can point at
they were supposed to be.
You can point at, you know, the starting pitching overall was pretty solid for the most part. And then the bullpen did their job also. Altogether, just a fantastic weekend. And by the way, all three of those games happened on the road. And I know that Cincinnati, they're not world beaters, but, you know, again, the Royals have had issues throughout the course of the season winning on the road with those three games back to back to back. Now all of a sudden Kansas City is over 500 on the road. They had been really bad on the road for a long time. That had been one of the main issues this team had faced, and now they're over 500.
They beat a team that's not bad. Like when we talk about Cincinnati is great starting pitching and a lot of really exciting young players. Now they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not a bad team. The Angels coming up are a bad team. The White Sox are a bad team. Cincinnati's not a bad team. So going on the road and sweeping them is a big deal. And I don't really care what anybody thinks. When I go, well, they can't beat the good. Nobody can, right? Just beat these teams and set yourself up to make the playoffs. And that's what the Royals did there. And that's why it was so good to see. And you got help elsewhere, right? You know, everybody, you gained ground in both the wild card. You gained ground in the Central Division. You feel good about things. I do think, Tommy, the bullpen is the best place to go. Long was not good yesterday, but Ercik bailed him out. Now, they scored some runs in the ninth inning, so don't be fooled. It was a much more intensive eighth inning, let's call it, seventh inning especially. We'll call it seventh inning because that's what it was. The Reds were threatening. They got a run. All of a sudden now, okay, we're in a save situation. And what do you do here? And Ercik came in and got the job done. And then he finished the next inning. And then MacArthur gave him an inning. That's the other thing, too. I'm going to check this. I think that is three or four clean outings in a row for James MacArthur, as they really, really need one more pitcher on the back end. No, that's five clean outings, and it's four out of those five, Tommy. So let's put it this way. In his last five outings, which cover four and two-thirds innings, one hit in those outings, and six strikeouts. So, look, maybe MacArthur can slide back. He's not going to be the closer for this team, but as they really need to find one more guy, as Long has struggled, as Zerpa has struggled, like all the guys that sort of, Stratton, Smith, they're all struggling. All of a sudden, maybe MacArthur comes back there with Bubich, and then you get Harvey healthy. Now you got a back of the bullpen. Look, if MacArthur can, if he can kind of regain it, now they have a strong back of the bullpen. And that becomes a weapon, because the starters, I just don't think, are going to take them as consistently deep into games as they did early in the year. So that's really, really good. You know, the lineup is fine. You don't worry about the lineup anymore. It's one of the best lineups in the American League. They just flat hit with runners in scoring position, and they've figured out how to make it work. So that part's been easy. The starting pitching was certainly better there against the Reds. Needed to continue because you've got, you know, Lugo and Reagans. Wouldn't you like to see Lugo come out and just flip and dominate a start here? Like, go eight innings and just shut them down. We know Reagans is fine. We saw Singer bounce back. Lorenzen is going to be what Lorenzen is. It's a big one for Lugo in this series. And we'll get more into the game specifically. But they look, you play the Reds, you get a sweep, everything feels good. I get it. It could turn around quickly. But it doesn't need to turn around in the next three games. Continue the momentum here. And I have not even looked at who Cleveland plays. But take advantage and do not let your foot off the gas. Because remember that stretch we hinted at this Friday. They play 20 straight games against really good teams after this. They have got to take advantage and continue to take advantage of this opportunity in front of them right now on the schedule.
Well, they're also back home today, and they're taking on an Angels team that is, you know, faltering. They're sputtering towards the end of the season. You like the Royals, I think, to carry on the momentum that they built over the weekend. And really, even going back to the finale against Minnesota on Thursday before they ended up, you know, starting and ultimately sweeping the Reds over the weekend. You mentioned James MacArthur. Want to mention him very quickly. I'm okay with a role for him where he is not the guy that they hand the ball to close out games, because that's a lot of pressure on a guy who had never been in that position before. And, you know, really, yeah, has electric stuff, but really, you know, kind of up and down as far as his consistency. If you can get him into a role where there's a little bit less pressure, slightly less pressure on his shoulders, where, you know, he's not going to be the pitcher that the Royals call on to end games, and he can be a little bit more consistent in the seventh, eighth inning, I'm perfectly okay with that role for him to be carved out that way if he's able to execute in that role. And I think he can, because that's going to be a little bit less pressure on his shoulders. As far as the lineup is concerned, I am going to submit my application right now to be the president of the Vinny Pasquantino fan club. Pasquantino has been so overlooked this season when you're talking about, because, you know, you're going to get overshadowed by Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. Vinny Pasquantino has the fourth most RBIs in Major League Baseball this year. He's got 92 RBIs. And it's probably the quietest 92 RBIs that any player has ever had, ever. And he just continually is able to get out there and deliver and drive in those runs. And we've talked about the middle of the lineup overall for Kansas City, but really specifically Vinny Pasquantino. I think the role that he has filled with this team is invaluable because he's not getting the, you know, accolation that the other two guys are.
Think about the Pasquatch, too, this way. You remember how bad it was to start the year? Like, bad, bad. Like real bad. Couldn't do anything. Like, his walks were good, and that was it. Just continuously struggling in big moments, couldn't come. Like, that happened for a while, so much so that it was to the point where we at least pondered, or at least I did. I'm like, well, what if the Mets made Pete Alonso available? Would you trade Pasquantino to get some help in the middle of the lineup? And then quickly, as he turned it around, it's not just that he turned it around. He has been scalding hot ever since. You don't pile up these numbers with that kind of a start without, I mean, it's even exponentially more impressive what he's done lately. He and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, and I think they're still there. At least they were at some point last week. Three of the five best hitters in the American League with runners in scoring position are those three guys. If you're doing that, it doesn't matter nearly as much what everybody else is doing. Because more often than not, when you get the opportunity with those three guys, they're going to get you something out of it. And so, yeah, he's getting overlooked because of Bobby Witt Jr. There's no question. Salvador Perez is getting overlooked because of Bobby Witt Jr., which seems silly to say. Salvador Perez is going to be a Hall of Famer. They're all being overlooked because of Bobby Witt Jr., as he, by the way, had another home run last night that was robbed on an incredible play in the outfield by the Reds. Like, what he's doing is overshadowing everybody, but that doesn't take away from the fact that three of the most productive hitters in the American League, three of, let's call it, the top six or seven most productive hitters in the league, hell, you could say Major League Baseball, reside in the middle of the Royals lineup. And they're going to be there for a while, too. When you've got that sort of production in the middle, the Royals in these off seasons, it doesn't take nearly as much to go find your Hunter Renfros and those types of players to supplement the middle of the lineup. They'll attack the leadoff spot in the offseason. They will. But it's just been fantastic to see. And that's the other thing about this, that we haven't talked about this really since the very beginning of the season. But like, as we are hyper-focused on this season, as we should be, this is shaping up to be a roster that has some staying power. Even though the farm system isn't very good, that's okay, because they don't need a whole lot, in theory, next year to continue this momentum. Like, that's going to take some time to redevelop. But they can make minor moves in free agency to continue this. So it's very good to see the bullpen is getting stronger. My goodness, how fortuitous would it be if MacArthur could regain some ability to pitch late in a game for them? And then you look at it and it's like, okay, the team doesn't really have any holes now, because that's the hole, right? The bridge to Ursig is the hole at this point. If they don't have that, they can play. They can hang. Six straight series after this Angels series, Tommy. Six straight series against teams that will be in the postseason. That's what the Royals will have after this Angels series. And we'll talk about the urgency on the Angels series. But again, as great as the weekend was, if you expect them to go any more than 500 in those six series, you're probably being unreasonable. They've got to take advantage.
Okay, so look, going back to the middle of the lineup, you know, all three of those guys, Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino, all three of them are on pace to hit 100 or more RBIs at the end of this season. And I don't take that lightly. It's been a quarter of a century since the last time the Royals have had three players that have had 100 or more RBIs. You have to go all the way back to the 2000 season when they had Mike Sweeney, Joe Randa, and Jermaine Dye. All three of those guys had more than 100 RBIs on the season. It's been a long time. This sort of thing is rarefied air for the Royals. And so you've got...
Let's just real quick on an asterisk to that. In that era of Major League Baseball, there were a lot of players that had 100 RBI.
There were. And that team, by the way, also had Johnny Damon and Carlos Beltran, who did not have 100 RBIs on the season. So, I mean, they had a fairly potent lineup back then in the year 2000. They still finished that year under 500. But I don't take it lightly because of how rare it's been for the Royals to have that productive of a middle of a lineup offensively, with three guys that are able basically night in and night out. And you can usually pick one of the three, if not multiple of the three, being the guy that is driving the bus, as the Royals broadcast team might say, driving in the runs, you know, being able to be the productive ones in the lineup. And so from there, yeah, you've got other areas in the lineup that, you know, probably are, you know, still at this point not ideal. Leadoff is still not ideal. It's not going to be ideal as the season rolls on and we get into the postseason. But the Royals have been able to compensate for the deficiencies in their lineup with how productive those three guys, Witt, Perez, and Pasquantino, have been.
It's incredible. Chris sent us this on X, and it's a really good tweet from, or post from, Jeff Passan, ESPN. You're looking at a Major League Baseball season where there are no teams running away with it. it doesn't look like there's a team that's going to get to 100 wins. Last time we saw that was in 2014. Good year for the Royals, right? Same trend that he points out with run differential. There just is not a dominant team this year. There's not right now. And that should encourage you, I think, if you're a Royals fan. In a year where it's really muddy, in a year where there are a lot of really good teams, which I think made the trade deadline pretty tricky to navigate, which we talked about a lot, that's an opportunity when you, and this isn't the first time we've said this, and I believe it wholeheartedly. Like, when you consider every facet of the game, all facets, is there a roster out there right now that you would definitively say is a better roster than Kansas City? When you consider starting rotation, lineup, and now bullpen, which has certainly gotten stronger, if there are, it's not by much.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of teams. I mean, you know, I probably Baltimore from top to bottom is, I maybe take over Kansas City. New York is really top heavy. They've got some clear deficiencies as well, and they've cooled off quite a bit from the way they started the year. Houston's come on strong as of late, but they've got deficiencies also. I'd probably say Baltimore would be, if I had to pick a team, probably be Baltimore. But again, it doesn't take anything away from the Royals because they do have, I mean, they're right up there too. Like, there's not a, as you pointed out, a dominant team right now in Major League Baseball.
It's been great. I mean, you go through all of it. The Phillies, well, the Mariners, if you think the Mariners could get there, the Mariners and the Phillies are the only teams in baseball with starting pitchers better than the Royals so far. That's it. You know, and when you talk about middle of the lineups, you'll certainly take the Royals over the Mariners, and I'll put them right there with anybody. So it's been really, really cool. Royals are cooking. They're cooking here, and we'll see if they can keep it going. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk Chiefs. We'll get back to the Royals. Don't worry, Royals fans. The Chiefs get through the second preseason game. I mean, is that perfect for a preseason game? It's pretty close to it because they are ready now to prepare for Baltimore with everything they needed to see really accomplished, I think. So we'll talk about that. Some razzle-dazzle from 15 again. By the way, all that baseball coverage you just heard, it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Sports Daily coming right back. We'll talk a little Chiefs football next. Everybody, Sports Daily here on KFH. Thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up with some great coffee and all the Odyssey family. All right, Jad's got some Chiefs audio cuts. I don't even know what the score was. I don't really care. But the Chiefs make it through the second preseason game with nothing significant coming of it. I mean, that's what you want, right? They got the work in that the coaches deemed they needed to get in, and there's not really anything to take away. I mean, we'll look at it, but the big thing that people are talking about, of course, is a behind-the-back pass from Patrick Mahomes. So Jad's got that audio. So what you'll hear is the radio call of that play, and then Mahomes talking about it and Kelsey talking about it after the game. So let's get that for you ready to roll. Home of the Chiefs, of course, over on KNSS, where you'll hear them all season long. Our conversations with Dan Israel will begin very soon as it pertains to the Chiefs and we get ready for the Ravens. But here's that audio from the game on Saturday of the play everybody's talking about.
Third down, long two, short three at the Lion 33. 3-0 Kansas City. Steele gets it. No, they're going to fake it to him. They get it to Kelsey on that RPO fake. Great run. And he throws it behind his back. Mahomes has been practicing this at camp. Everybody's wanting him to do it. He just did it for 9 yards. He did one at the goal line at St. Joseph that was absolutely perfect as Mahomes did it again, just on a point.
We had a play called where it was an RPO play and Travis was supposed to run an out route. We had the leverage we wanted. I should have known because he asked me what he had as he was motioning over. You can see him kind of look back at me. But I thought I told him and it was going to be open, so I pulled it and then he wasn't out there, so I was going to run for it. And, of course, he was blocking, and then he's turned around, and I just threw it to him. So wasn't how it was drawn up, but I always told you it has to happen naturally. I can't like force it, and I did it, and then I actually forgot about it, and then that, like, as the game went on, they asked me about it, I was like, oh yeah, it probably looked pretty cool, but I haven't actually got to see it yet.
All right, I know it's been in the works for a while. You guys got the behind-the-back pass in the
playbook.
No,
still doesn't count unless it does in a real game.
Okay, so it's not counting yet, but you had to practice it, right?
He's been doing that for a long time. It's just it's fun that he can come out here, play that loose, and be able to do stuff like that. That's why we love Pat Mahomes, right?
It's kind of funny. Coach has almost encouraged it, hasn't he?
Well, I don't know about encouraging it. I think I think everybody wanted to see it, and obviously Pat's the best quarterback in the league and one of the best to ever play this game. So the more he can do, the more fun he has out there on the field, the better we play.
You know what's wild about it, I think, Tommy, is it's razzle dazzle, and I think people think, because I don't think this way, but I think like and maybe, you know, Chiefs fans less so, but I think the general public thinks like they'll do that just to be funny and cool and like, oh, look what I can do. That ain't it. Like that particular thing allows them to do something on a play that they might not, it's real. And I think that's what you heard out of Mahomes. I don't know if he actually didn't forget. I mean, who knows? But I really do think like there are things that allows them to do. We notice now, and I don't know if Mahomes was the first to do the no-look pass. It's certainly the first we noticed it. But now there are quarterbacks all across the league doing no-look passes, right? It's a weapon. It's an asset to be able to do it, to look off the defense. This is the same thing. It's almost like an enhanced version of the, you know, that little shovel pass thing in the middle that they do to Kelce. This is an even more dangerous version of that because now you've got misdirection involved in it. So I think it's a real play. I mean, I think it's cool and everything, just like everybody else does. Not everybody could do it, certainly. But I don't think it's just them out there screwing around. You know, I think it's legitimately a way to enhance a play that has worked for them in short yardage.
Aren't we at a point now also in Patrick Mahomes' career where nothing he does surprises us anymore? Like, you know, I watched the video and I it's fantastic, don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm not trying to say that it's not cool, because it absolutely is. But used to be that I'd see something like that and be like, oh my God, that's just, and now I'm just like, oh yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know, like it's amazing. It's so cool. Like nobody else is doing that sort of thing and having the kind of success with it. Now, whether or not it makes its way into an actual regular season game, I think time will tell. But yeah, just these sort of things don't, it's not that they don't blow me away anymore. It's just I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised, you know, that he's able to do that. And we've seen him do those sort of things in practice. And of course, you know, they talked about it and, you know, that happened in training camp and that sort of thing up in St. Joe. But it just, that sort of thing now is just kind of the expected. Expect the unexpected from a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And that's what makes, on top of everything else, it's so difficult to defend him, because defensive coordinators and defensive players around the league, they know that by now. They've caught on to that. Expect the unexpected with number 15. It makes it so hard to game plan for, because it just defies any kind of logic that, you know, or conventional wisdom that we've learned over the decades in the National Football League. It's something that is so rare that nobody can plan for it.
It was the thing people talk about, and it's obviously not the thing that actually matters that much. So let's get into the game a little bit. We were at a charity event, but we've gone back and kind of watched a little bit, and watched the starters, watched the highlights, the backups, all these things. I think you saw what you wanted to see in it when I say that, because you got a good amount of reps from Worthy, right? Like Worthy got reps. He had the long touchdown. He showed off his explosive nature, which you know will be a weapon for this team. He and Rice together got a lot of reps, which I do think is important right now. Mahomes, you know, threw 14 passes. Don't really care what he does. He'll be fine. Carson Wentz looked fine. They kind of be nice if in the short term he could be their backup. I'm curious to see if they carry three quarterbacks. And for me, like Pacheco played, he had one carry. Great. I'm not an offensive lineman, you know, savant. I've seen some people review Sua Mataia. And by the way, we're going to say Sua Mataia, or at least I am. Sua Mataia, I get it. Sua Mataia rolls off the tongue. There's no offense intended there. It's just faster to say it that way. by all accounts, by people that track that stuff, he looked good or fine, you know, at least whatever. So no concerns there. And they made it out without injury. Tommy, it's perfect. They lost the game. Who cares? It was just about perfect for what you'd want to see, at least out of the starters in the preseason.
Yeah, from a running back perspective, I mean, I still think that that's a little bit of a mess outside of Isaiah Pacheco. You know, Denaric Prince got a good amount of carries. He had a 40-yard run, but his other six carries, he gained 6 yards on those other six carries. So kind of pedestrian for him outside of the one long run that he was able to break off. Carson Steele looks to be legitimate. He looks like he could be somebody that could fill a variety of roles for Kansas City. He had, you know, a good impact on special teams. He got a handful of carries, played fullback some, blocked pretty well. It's kind of that Swiss Army knife a little bit, and it's a role that we haven't seen the Chiefs have anybody in for a while now. There have been people that have done individual things that Carson Steele is doing. Like, for instance, they don't have Blake Bell on the roster anymore. Blake Bell was a really good blocker. Carson Steele could be potentially that blocker to kind of take over that role. They haven't had a fullback since Anthony Sherman. Obviously, Carson Steele could be that guy, provide some depth, even as a tailback, you know, could potentially do that from time to time as well. He looks like he is the real deal. He looks like somebody that has probably solidified an active roster spot on this team going into the season. I don't know how big of an impact he'll actually make when we get into the regular season, but I do think he's done enough to solidify a roster spot. Wide receivers, Kadarius Toney needs to be out the door. It's not going to work. He's not there. I said on Friday I thought that he would be the guy that would be cut. I know that they gave up a decent amount to get him when they traded for him. He hasn't shown anything. His very first snap in the preseason, he was called for a double penalty. I don't even know how that happens, but it was like offensive holding and illegal formation. He got called for that. The very first snap that he was on the field, he finished with one catch, -4 yards. He had one punt return that was the shortest punt return that anybody had for the Chiefs the entire day. I don't know what else you need to see from Kadarius Toney. That experiment should be done. I think it has been for a while. But then really what we saw from him on Saturday tells me that there's really not any room for him on that roster. And they've got, you know, a handful of other wide receivers that can definitely be, you know, fill that role and be that depth piece that Toney was, I think, expected to be.
Austin chimes in on our YouTube feed saying essentially the same thing. What is he providing them? I don't know. The thing that is interesting about his situation, there are probably a lot of teams where that sort of upside is enticing enough to stick around. It's interesting to think about how teams might think about that. And we'll have that decision. And yeah, probably that wasn't the performance to give the coaches confidence. You could, you know, like they don't need him to really do anything except be a gadget guy. But they brought back Mecole Hardman, who is essentially that same player, right? Like they don't need, and quite frankly, don't want Toney to be one of their go-to receivers. They really don't need him to be either, because they have now Worthy and Hollywood Brown soon. So at best, if you were counting on him, he's your fourth receiver and your fifth pass. So
don't you think, and I know that when we talked about this on Friday, I listed, I think, three receivers that, you know, I felt like one of them was going to get cut, and I thought it was going to be Toney. And I'm not saying that you're a Kadarius Toney defender by any means, but don't you think, though, that at worst, a player should not contribute at all? Like that, like if you're going to look at, like, okay, the ceiling is here, the floor is here, as long as you're just like not doing anything, that's better than actively hurting the team when you're out on the field.
Yes.
And Toney is at a point, and he has been, where he's actively harming the team when he's on the field.
Yeah.
Like if it was just a situation where like he's either not out there, or when he is out there, he's not making an impact. He's not doing anything positive, but he's not doing anything negative either. That's one thing. That's kind of how I feel about Sky Moore, at least right now. He's not really doing anything, but he's not actively harming the team. Kadarius Toney.
He's a true backup right now.
Kadarius Toney is actively hurting the Chiefs when he's on the field.
100% agree, and that's why it becomes an interesting decision. I think they would like to keep him to only use, right, in specific, like this is Toney, but
I don't even know what that is.
With that, The problem with that is, well, I know what it is. They would like him to be a set designed gadget play, get the ball in his head. But the problem with that is he is actively harming you or doing that one thing poorly. And he's continuing this trend of unreliability when he's not, you know, when we're not playing a game, that it's, he's almost making it impossible for them to even do that. So if that's, you know, if that's ultimately his role, because I think it was going to be at one point, we'll see if they're still willing to give it a shot. They've never thought Tony was going to come into this season and be like this massive contributor to the offense. I think they brought him in to strictly do a couple of trick play type of Andy Reid, mad scientist things, and that's it. They're just not going
to. He can't even do that at this point. That's the issue.
That's that, right. And so now it's like, okay, well, if he can't do that, why is he here? And so, but the other part of it is they also don't need him or anybody in that spot either. Like, there's no pressure at the seventh wide receiver or even the sixth, because Watson is your fill in probably at any position. And then they're going to go and figure, and then you still have Mecole Hardman, who as a return man is what they want, but he's been a part of the offense before.
Yeah.
So it's like, They really don't. They have room to take the risk, but they don't need to take the risk. So I don't know what they do. I think by their language, they're probably going to let him go.
Yeah,
but I won't be surprised or stunned if they don't.
And for me, if they cut him, honestly, it's addition by subtraction. I actually feel better about the wide receiver room if he's not on the depth chart. Because, again, it's not just that he's not contributing at all. When he is, when he's out on the field, it's not even a contribution. He's hurting the team. And so I feel actually my level of trust in the overall wide receiver group goes up slightly if Kadarius Toney isn't even on the team.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I just don't really, honestly, I don't really care, because I don't think he's going to impact
I do,
much.
Because there have been so many times where he has negatively impacted the team. So it's like, if you're not going to put him in those situations, don't even have him on the team.
Right. And you know, at some point, you're just going to have to cut your losses. They've drafted well enough in other places that you can swallow the fact that they have not been able to get wide receiver, and you hope that it's Worthy. And it's very clear what Worthy's value is. I mean, he is making plays at the NFL. I don't care if it's against backups. Those are NFL caliber backups getting torched on a quick go route. And that's what he brings to an offense now. That really gets you excited about what Mahomes could do to finally open things up is just, you know, be able to utilize these new weapons he has. But it was a great performance. We can continue it. We'll wrap up the first hour with it. I want to get into anything else we're seeing out of the preseason. I'll tell you what I'm seeing. And again, I'm not as locked in as I will be in the regular season. All these rookie quarterbacks look pretty good. And that doesn't always happen in the preseason. Do we think is there a chance that they're all good? I think there is. And then Pittsburgh's got an interesting situation to get through. We'll do it all. We'll talk more about the Royals, get you ready for that Angels series. On the way out here, let's set up our HTO giveaway. If you want to win a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors available for you, and some free rain coffee, iced hot, all your coffee drinks, HTO has you covered at any of the metro locations, East or West Wichita, or in Derby. You can win one of each right now by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. It's a fun Monday. It's fun Monday when things go that well for the teams you cover over the weekend. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. 36 holes of golf, it's go time, Tommy. We've got all three kids now in school. And I don't know what I was just talking to my wife during the commercial break as our son starts kindergarten today, and we're pretty bummed about that. And like, I was like, I you know, during these commercial breaks, I can't like come out and hear about whatever random adventure or get like, you know, bargaining power to play like 15 minutes of Switch. I'm like, that's really strange. Like, what do we do? Well, I may try to get over to Crestview now and play some daytime golf and not just nighttime golf, like before TV and in that little gap that I have. Maybe I can do that now. But Crestview has 36 holes to do it on, which will make it a little easier to find those tee times. If you were like a golf savant, that's got to be the best thing about Crestview versus the competition in town is the ease of which you can get a tee time because there are 36 holes of golf.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been at Crestview for, I don't know, 7 years or so. And I don't know if I've ever not been able to get on the golf course within a couple of hours, you know, of wanting to be on there on one of them. And that's one of the benefits there is that, you know, you've got choices and, you know, I know that there are a lot of places where you've got to like make a tee time a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance or whatever, just to make sure that you get on. And there's a lot of times where it's pretty easy to just hop out there on a whim and find an opportunity to go out and play. So, yeah, the weather is going to get to the point to where it's going to be beautiful to golf. I'm jealous if you can get out and play sometime during the week, during the day. I was looking at my calendar this morning and trying to come up with like, what does this week look like? Is there any opportunity that I can sneak out? And it just doesn't look like that's going to be realistic for me.
There's not much for me. So I have to combine both, like, get the tee time. There may be one day a week where I don't have something right after this to like some sort of meeting or whatever. But give Crestview a call. They got all kinds of good stuff. Even when the weather turns bad, give them a call. Check it out. We appreciate their support.
It was a great pool weekend, by the way, too, with, you know, how hot it was. It was great.
I was at the pool. It was fantastic. So Rick brings up an interesting, and this is sort of what I mean. I'm glad Rick said this on our YouTube feed. We're talking about the wide receiver room, and this is going to have to bleed into the second hour. He agrees about Tony. Don't forget, though, about the Eagles Super Bowl, his punt return and touchdown catch. Don't forget about the play from Kelsey if he doesn't line up offsides, obviously, which is part of the problem. But what happened after that, right? Like I can't ever help but think about how much slack Mahomes and Kelsey have been willing to give him because they know how dynamic he can be if he's not actively hurting you or his head. I don't know what the reason is, but when it is there, they're very fond of it. And so that's why, like, I don't think it's quite as simple as it might be in normal. Now they look,
it's gotten worse
and it's snowballing it's getting away from him, but that little element that still does exist, why they were willing to give up what they gave in the first place, and the fact that they just don't need him to do anything if they did keep him on the roster, like he could just sit there. I just don't know. And let's talk about this after the second hour, because this is really what it comes down to. Like, if Hollywood is back quickly, what do they need their sixth or seventh receiver to do? Like, who would you keep ahead of him because of what they do? That's, I think, what becomes the question for that specific decision. We'll talk about that on the other side. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. You can chime in on the conversation because I don't have a strong take either way. I'm just curious about it, I think. I'm curious to see. I know what Tommy thinks. He thinks he'd be gone. But I'm wondering if that's a universal thought at this point, or if there are people more reserved with just kind of wanting to see it. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll get to some of the other storylines across the NFL as well, as we're basically through the important part of the preseason here. That's all coming for you on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is hour number two here of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. It is a great Monday if you're a fan of the teams around here because they had a great weekend. That certainly makes it better. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here alongside you. We're talking about the Chiefs and their wide receiver roster decision because we're done. We're through with the meaningful. And maybe, who knows, this may be the thing to watch. It probably is the thing to watch and listen for in this final preseason game, Tommy. It's Thursday, by the way. Well, how does this shape out? There may be roster spots on the line for the wide receivers. But it is Kadarius Toney is the reason we're talking about this. And is he worth the trouble of keeping him on the roster? He has had a lot of highlights in his Chiefs career. He's had a lot of lowlights in his Chief career. And this offseason, it has been more lowlights. He hasn't been on the field. He hasn't been good when the little bit of time he has been on the field. So it creates an interesting situation. I mean, I guess you start with how many are they going to keep? Six, seven? What do we think?
I think you got to keep seven. I mean, that's what they did last year. I think that there's enough depth there with just the sheer number of wide receivers that they've got, that keeping seven is probably the realistic number.
So you think seven. So if we say seven, then what are the seven then? What are your seven? If it's not going to be Tony, who are your seven?
Yeah, so it's going to be Hollywood Brown, obviously. It's going to be Rashee Rice, obviously. Xavier Worthy, obviously. Those are the three like locks for sure. Justin Watson is a lock just because of his trust that he has with Patrick Mahomes. Mecole Hardman, for what he can do in the return game and special teams, I think is a lock. That's five. There's enough upside with Justin Ross right now that I think that the Chiefs really like him, and he'll probably make the active roster. That's six, and then I would go Sky Moore at seven.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Justin Ross didn't do anything in the game Saturday. I don't know. I think, all right, so I'm with you on, obviously, Worthy, Rice, Watson, Hollywood, as the four main dudes.
Hardman is going to be
Hardman
a lock.
Is going to make the roster at five. If they keep six, I mean, Cornell Powell has caught some big play, you know, some long passes.
He's probably a good practice squad kind of guy.
Nico Remigio.
I like Remigio a lot.
He's been the Justin Ross of this year. I just, especially if I'm getting to seven, it's because I'm going to let Tony have a spot. If I'm going to six, it really does come to which guy do you cut bait with, Sky Moore or Kadarius Tony? And I have been a Sky, but Sky Moore has done nothing also.
Right, but it goes back to what we talked about last hour. Sky Moore's not doing anything, but at least he's not hurting you when he's on the field.
He has, though, in the time he's played real meaningful football.
But Kadarius Toney, in the here and now, also is actively hurting the team. You know, he didn't play any snaps at all in the first preseason game. And I remember thinking, like, well, I mean, shoot, he's probably injured, and I know that he's had some injury issues in training camp. He always has injury issues, but I'm like, at least he's not on the field hurting you. Then he gets on the field for the very first time, and he has two penalties simultaneously. and then he catches one pass for negative 4 yards. That's his stat line in the preseason game. You know, at least Sky Moore isn't, you know, doing things to actively harm the team when he's on the field. So I'm going to say I would rather keep Sky Moore, who is a, you know, probably right now a net zero. Like, he's not contributing positively or negatively either way. Like, I'd rather keep him than Kadarius Toney. And I know that you said if you're going to keep seven, that would be if they're going to try to find a spot for Kadarius Toney. I disagree with that. If you're going to keep seven and you don't have Kadarius Toney, and if you decide that Justin Ross maybe isn't going to be somebody that is, you know, legitimately a regular season type player, then Remigio has had some really good moments in the preseason. Cornell Powell has as well. I'd rather either one of those guys have a roster spot over Kadarius Toney. Why would you take the seventh wide receiver spot for a guy who's dropping passes, getting penalties, continuously disappointing and letting down your team?
Because they're not going to use him that way. This is where I get stuck.
Then just keep six. Then don't even have a seventh wide receiver.
Right. That's what I mean. That is the if I'm keeping seven, it has to be Toney. And it's
even if they
Rick's
were keeping
point.
Eight, I wouldn't keep Kadarius Toney.
I know you've made your stance on it clear. I think the reason that it's even in may not be in consideration when the time comes, but it's to Rick's point because of those glimpses we've had at a true playmaker. And don't take my word for that. By the way, take Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's word for that. The dude is a game breaker. It's in there. Now, it's not been there as often as it has. I mean, it's not been there more often than it has been. That's the challenge here, but it's in there. They defended him more than they would defend normal players. They put up with it because it's in there. I think the question for the Chiefs becomes not so much at wide receiver because they don't need him. It doesn't matter if whoever their sixth wide receiver is completely irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Right. It's a non-factor. That player on the roster is probably, unless bad things happen, not seeing the field. So then it's more about is it more valuable? And I'm not, this is hypothetical for me. Is it more valuable to carry an extra offensive lineman? Is it more valuable maybe to carry Carson Steele if that's a decision that needs to be made? Is it more valuable to carry an extra running back? That's, I think, the bigger question. I don't think it matters because if you're asking me who has a more valuable spot to the wide receiver room, if you're telling me Sky Moore is not going to do anything and that's why you like him because he's not going to do anything, then if the player's not going to do anything, then I would probably lean to the player that if they get right can do something incredible.
He's not going to get right. We're going on. Year number three, and I know they brought him in midway through the season 2 years ago, so it's not a full.
But you're acting like he didn't contribute anything in year number one when he absolutely did.
Good. I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he caught a touchdown pass. I'm glad that he had a punt return in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. I'm glad that he did all of that, okay? I think that it's okay to appreciate the contributions and say, thank you for what you did. Thank you for, you know, the crucial moments that you had. I think you can even retrospectively sort of put out the mistakes in the back of your head. I think you don't have to really like include that. I think you can just pat him on the back, say, thank you for what you did. We're going to go a different direction. That's okay.
Sure,
it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, of course it's okay. I don't mean that. I just mean, I don't want to forget about the upside when I'm thinking about the sixth.
But I think that upside, I think that's all we've heard about Kadarius Toney, basically his entire career. That's why he was drafted in the first round.
But
it's all about the upside. It's all about the upside. And he literally has never shown that he can play.
Yes, he has.
Not consistently, not at a point to where you're like, hey, I feel good about this guy performing at his. That's great. But like, I would rather have somebody who consistently, you know what you're going to get from them, than a player like Kadarius Toney when, yeah, he might catch a touchdown pass in a Super Bowl to win the game, and that's great, but he's probably also going to screw you up.
But what are
Keep
you
in mind
from
the
Sky
offsides
Moore?
Against, you know, him when Travis Kelce had that catch last season. Like, you just, and I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you can take the good with the bad with Kadarius Toney, and that's okay. No, it's not okay at this point. He's taking up a roster spot. Move him out and get somebody else in there.
But Sky Moore shouldn't be that. Sky Moore hasn't ever even shown you the upside.
He's never shown you the downside, and nothing else. Like, I've never said that I think Sky Moore is this incredible player. You've been more on the bandwagon of Sky Moore and, over the years.
Yeah, and he hasn't even given you the upside.
But what I'm talking about is just comparing the two of them. I'm not talking about overall, like, what the ceiling is for Sky Moore in his career. I'm talking about if you've got one roster spot left when it comes down to roster cuts, and it's between Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, I'm going to cut Kadarius Toney because Kadarius Toney is actively harming the team.
Yeah, again, this is where it gets, and I'm not advocating for keeping Kadarius Toney. I'm just trying to understand or gain perspective on the decision the Chiefs are going to make. I think for a lot of teams, the downside is more dangerous than it probably is for the Chiefs. Last year, it was dangerous because they were trying to get those guys to be meaningful contributors. Neither of them could. But they're going to be enamored with Andy Reid is, with the gadget nature. I just don't know if they need to have that in the tank. I think they're going to be dynamic enough without it, where they maybe have not been the last couple of years. So is it even worth the trouble, I think, becomes the question. It's not going to hurt him because he's not going to play.
But he will.
Unless they have a gadget.
Rick just commented on our video stream again. He makes a good point. They're going to be important on special teams. When you've got receivers that are that far down on the depth chart, yeah, they might not get meaningful offensive snaps, but they might very well play or could very well play on special teams. And
that's not an endorsement for Sky Moore.
That's not an endorsement on Kadarius Toney either.
No, I know. I don't know who that's an endorsement for at the wide receiver position specifically, because they're going to keep six, right? They're going to keep six, and we know who the first five will be. And then it becomes and Justin Ross didn't do anything in that game, but he has, by all accounts, had a fine camp. But, you know, that's kind of the same thing. Like, if at some point you got to contribute something, I don't know if they do need to contribute anything. And maybe it does come down to as simple as, hey, who's going to help you the most making a tackle on a kickoff, right? Like, maybe that's the deciding factor. There are a lot of things that go into it. My curiosity comes if the Chiefs are just still, they want to have whatever that gadget play is for Toney. And remember that the Kelce play wasn't designed as I thought it was when we saw it. It was totally ad-libbed, right? And so it's not like they drew that up for Toney. He just happened to be the guy that was standing there. My gut says they don't keep Toney. I think that they'll cut him, but I'm curious about it. And who becomes the sixth guy? And then if it's seven, I think he stays. I think if they keep seven, he'll be one of them.
If they keep six,
I don't think he will be.
Guarantee, if they keep seven, he will not be one of them. I believe that to my core, and simply because
guarantee is a little strong.
Well, I'm real willing to guarantee it. Like, we can make a bet right now if you want to. If they carry seven, Kadarius Toney will not be one of them. I don't see that happening. And it not only comes back to what happened over the weekend. Have we heard any other receivers, Sky Moore included, get called out by his head coach and his offensive coordinator in training camp? It's the most vocal that we've heard Matt Nagy and Andy Reid when it comes to Kadarius Toney, talking about his availability, talking about his consistency, talking about all of that.
Yeah.
And that all happened, don't forget, last week during the final week of training camp. Kadarius Toney had an opportunity to silence that in the game on Saturday, and he absolutely did not do that.
Correct.
So I think
my gut says he's cut.
I don't think they're keeping seven. I think they will keep seven, and I don't think he'll be one of them.
So who do you keep?
Sky Moore, Justin Ross. I've gone through my entire seven.
Yeah. I didn't know you made Ross.
Yeah,
the
Justin Ross and Sky Moore. I think are my.
It doesn't matter. If they keep seven, we're never going to hear about the seventh receiver. If you're going, and I got to see the totality there. I'm more concerned that you'd have another lineman or you find a spot for Carson Steele than keep a seventh receiver that provides you nothing. I would imagine Carson Steele could make a tackle on a kickoff if you need him to. I'd be more confident in that than, especially in the new format, than I would Justin Ross. Maybe Ross has done enough that they think he can contribute. It's just, again, the bottom line for this conversation is this decision is a strength for the Chiefs, right? Because it doesn't matter what they do there. they're deep enough at the top and they're designed enough. As long as Hollywood Brown is short term, then Watson backs everybody up, basically. Hardman plays his defined role, and you just move on with your life. It's what happens if, you know, somebody misses, if two guys are out at once, and that is, it's not crazy because it'll probably happen. That other guy then, okay, now you've got to play reps here, because I don't think they'll put Hardman in that role. Who's the other guy that plays consistent reps? And maybe that helps them decide that. And in that scenario, yeah, Justin Ross would make sense, but it's kind of been Remigio who's, to me, been a little bit more consistent. Whatever. Good problems to have when you're talking about who's going to be the sixth or seventh receiver for the Chiefs. I think that's pretty much it, though, out of that game. I don't know what else other people were looking for. I was looking for an evaluation of left tackle. I was looking for no injuries. And that's really what I wanted to come out of the game. So we got both of those things. Anything else that is of relevance in these games? Because it's done now. Like, we're through it. They'll just start game prepping for the Ravens. But I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I think the only other thing that I take a look at, and I've seen some people that have commented on this over the course of the weekend, I think that there's a little bit of concern about Felix Anudike Uzomah and not really being an impact player through the preseason. And really, this was going to need to be the year that he took that step forward, you know, to kind of be that guy that the Chiefs envisioned him to be. And I'll be completely honest, I didn't really get a chance to get in and like go snap by snap and watch him when he was on the field and things that were concerning. But from other people, from what I've seen, there's been some talk about his inability to defend the run, where he's able to get, you know, pass rush a little bit better. That's always been kind of his game anyway. But that, I think, is a little bit concerning, because when he was on, it sounded like he was mainly against reserves for Detroit and kind of struggled with them also. So I don't exactly know what that looks like and how that pans out for this season. But, I mean, the Chiefs are expecting him, to be an impact player at that position.
It was a risky pick. They admitted that. They were in a position to take a risky pick there. They need him, though. They need somebody to provide pass. Because if their pass rush doesn't get better and you lost Snead, that could be a problem early in the season. This is why I don't think their defense is going to be better than it was a year ago. I would disagree with Mitch on that. And we'll talk to Dan Israel about this tomorrow. Dan starts his conversations with us weekly tomorrow. As far as the Chiefs radio network. But I just don't see a world where they're better, because A, you're losing one of the top, multi-talented corners in the league, and you're relying on a largely unproven player to provide pass rush to help you there. Now, they could end up on par with where they were last year. I certainly don't think they're coming out of the gates that way. They better stop the run, because that's what the Ravens are going to do. They got Derrick Henry now and Lamar Jackson. They're about to pound the rock in this game and then maybe take their shot. So that's a curiosity, not just from the preseason, but I think for this season as a whole, we've all wondered that. Are they going to be able to get enough pass rush to, and Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, probably, I would say there's a really good chance Karlaftis is better, which is dangerous for the rest of the league, plus Jones may be enough. But yeah, you can't have a nothing burger over on the other side. So we'll see I didn't even see who got the start, because we were at the charity event. I don't even know who's starting, technically speaking, on the other side of the defensive line right now. And I don't even know who else. They'll be okay. I mean, they'll be okay out of the gates. I don't think the Ravens are the game where you're quite as concerned about that pass rush as you will be in some of the other games that they play.
Yeah, and just real quick, the other thing too about Felix Anudike Uzomah, where it's going to be even that much more critical for him at least to start the season off well. Charles Aminihue is still out working through his injury and getting back to game speed. And Aminihue, I think, showed some really, really positive flashes last season for the Chiefs. And so, until he gets back, they're really going to be relying.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That much more on FAU.
It's now or never. I mean, he's going to happen. He's going to get thrown to the fire. We'll find out pretty quick. If you can't rush the passer, they'll put a run stopper out there, I think, and just hope that Karloftis and Chris Jones can create the pressure. And it's Bags. He's going to blitz like crazy and find different and wacky things to do. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's look around the rest of the NFL. What other storylines from week two of the preseason caught our attention? We'll get into that a little bit as we make our way through this second hour. I think there's always interesting stories out there in that. So we'll hit that next, then we'll get you ready for the Royals game one of a series with the Angels. That's coming up tonight. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP, where you can get all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. Jad will take your calls there. We'll return right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, getting ready for an exciting fall. We're going to make some football picks on Fridays. We think starting next week, we're going to bring our pals from 12 News, Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, in to help make those picks. Paul Savage will be back, so those will be fun segments. We've got all our cast of characters here on the show starting to get back into the groove. We'll have our weekly Chiefs visits with Dan Israel. Need to connect with Wyatt Thompson as we get ready for the K-State football season as well. Tim Fitzgerald will join us. So we'll get all of that coming for you this year. We're really looking forward to it here on Sports Daily. All kinds of good stuff. We'll get you a KU segment weekly as well. So stay tuned for that. Tommy, the rest of the NFL preseason this weekend. From a bird's eye, I'm just watching the rookie quarterbacks. I don't take a whole lot away from the preseason. It's just hold your breath, hope nobody gets hurt, and then watch the rookies. I don't know how you feel about it. I honestly, like, has there been one of the rookie quarterbacks that you've been like, as Bo Nix has another nice performance last night? Drake May has shown you something. Caleb Williams has looked good to, find a good. Jaden Daniels has probably been the one that's garnered the most attention. And I did, the one quarterback I didn't really check in on this weekend was Michael Penix.
Well, he didn't play. He didn't play for the Falcons.
Right. And that's what I mean. We didn't check on him, but we don't expect anything out of him anyway. And then JJ McCarthy's hurt. So long term, I think there's a decent chance these guys are all good. I really do. Drake May's the one that I'm like, I have no idea about, but the rest of them, you could see a path to relevancy in the NFL. And I think even more than relevancy, I could see a path for at least three of them being really good Pro Bowl caliber players with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and JJ McCarthy at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Bo Nix was the kind of the pleasant surprise over this weekend, what he was able to do for the Broncos. Drake May will be the starter in week one. I mean, I'll just book that right now because Jacoby Brissett is not showing you anything for the Patriots. And so I do think that, you know, Jerod Mayo and the Patriots staff, I think they're going to be willing to take the risk and see the upside of Drake May and start him in week one, just because I'm sure they don't feel confident in what Brissett has done this preseason for them. As far as Michael Penix, what's interesting about him is that, you know, of course, the plan has not been really for him to play this season because Kirk Cousins is there. But Cousins was ruled out of the preseason, I mean, well ahead of time. Like, he wasn't going to play at all during the preseason. So then it's like, okay, Michael Penix, give him some reps. Show what he can do in the preseason because he probably isn't going to play in the regular season. They didn't play him in week two. They did in week one. Raheem Morris said that he showed them enough in week one. They didn't need to see anything else in week number two. So that was curious. That was a curious decision as to why they did not play Michael Penix in the preseason game over the weekend. But yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels showed you that he can, you know, do what he does. Caleb Williams also. Like, I think that the rookie quarterbacks obviously are all showing you why they were drafted where they were at.
I hope it does. I've said it a million times. I hope they're all great. Caleb Williams is in such a good position. I have heard people talk about what they're seeing out of his game. What people are loving about what they're seeing about Caleb Williams is he's showing what the flaw was most people saw in his game, and is that in the NFL, if you can't sit there and do what's designed, you're going to struggle, and he's doing that so far. Jaden Daniels, his stuff is more obvious. Like, he's a premier athlete. He makes big plays. He to me, Tommy, when I think of him, I think of like a more polished version of what Anthony Richardson was last year. Anthony Richardson, I think there were a lot of questions. You know, he hadn't played a ton. We just didn't know. Jaden Daniels just feels like that. And Richardson's much larger, right? And he got hurt. And that's the risk with Daniels. I think if Daniels stays healthy, he's going to be good. He'll be really good. I think J.J. McCarthy's floor is very, very high. It's more about where is his ceiling. Bo Nix will certainly be better than what the Broncos have been running out there. A couple other interesting quarterback spots. Looks like we're going to have Gardner Minshew as the starter in Vegas. That's probably fine. It's really a non-starter. I don't know what to make of them this year. I think they could be okay. But there's not going to be any real threat or anything. But Minshew gets, you know, he's earned this opportunity, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be okay. I mean, I think that when you're competing,
do you think they're going to be one of the bad teams?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be very good. I mean, because you've got your starting quarterback is either, I mean, I know it's going to be Minshew, but your other choice is Aiden O'Connell. They don't have Josh Jacobs anymore. He's gone. He's in Green Bay now.
Right.
They don't have Hunter Renfrow anymore. He's still a free agent. It's Gardner Minshew and Devontae Adams. That's your offense.
Well, they drafted. They're the ones who got Brock Bowers Michael Mayers.
Sure.
Michael Mayers is a good tight end, too.
So I'm not expecting much from the Raiders this season. I think that, actually, from what I saw from Bo Nix yesterday in the preseason, I think the Broncos could very easily be better than the Raiders this year. In fact, I think the Raiders probably, if I were to guess right now, I think the Raiders are probably in the season last in the AFC West.
I don't know. I mean, the Broncos have a not good line. I mean, I like Javonte Williams and he looks by all accounts healthy finally, but they really don't have much at receiver outside of Cortland Sutton either. They don't have a tight end. I think their defense is up.
Yeah, get me wrong. I don't think Denver's going to be good, but I think Denver could be better than Vegas.
I would imagine that the Raiders are, you know, like a 7-win team. 8-win team. We'll see. But they made their decision. We know Darnold's going to be the starter. It's Pittsburgh where the big question lies. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? Now, Russell Wilson was not as bad as his reputation in Denver, but he wasn't dynamic or anything. I don't know why they wouldn't just go with Justin Fields. Because when you're Pittsburgh, and I've wondered this not since we've seen the preseason, because Fields has done a pretty good job against, you know, backup defenses and all that. It's not just about that. I think it's interesting because they brought Wilson in to just be better than what they've had in the past, and he will be. But then they had this opportunity to go get Fields, and they did it. So sorry, Russell Wilson, But when I look at Justin Fields, I don't see a quarterback I'm ready to say, yeah, he's not going to cut it in this league. I'm not ready to do that with Justin Fields. And I'm not a Justin Fields supporter, but what Justin Fields at least adds to the offense is big playability and game-breaking athleticism on the ground. And if you're Pittsburgh, a team that feels like they're really good everywhere else, which they are, why would you not go with the upside play there?
I thought about that motivation a lot from the perspective of the Steelers, and I think that some of it is they're intrigued by the possibility, and it hasn't happened to this point, don't get me wrong, but the possibility of Russell Wilson playing for his career, because I think that's where it's at right now. I think that Russell Wilson is in a position, he's not going to get another chance after this. Like, unless he plays well for the Steelers, he's probably going to be done in the NFL. I don't see a lot of other teams taking chances on Wilson. And so I think that they're intrigued by potentially that desperation being motivation for Russell Wilson. Like, look, I'm playing for my job. I'm playing for my livelihood. And that might make him unlock something in his game. It hasn't to this point, and I'm not suggesting that it even will. But I've been trying to think about what's the motivation from the Steelers to throw Wilson out there as opposed to Justin Fields, and I think that that's probably a large part of it.
Listen, Russell Wilson was a significantly better passer than Justin Fields was last year. That's not even close, right? Like, if you just go look at what they did last year as a passer, Wilson was much, much better than Fields. But Fields is such a dynamic runner. That's what, like, Pittsburgh's goal is to win games, right? Like, Pittsburgh's not in evaluation mode. Pittsburgh is really good literally everywhere else and thinks they can go win playoff games. And they probably can if either of these guys can be serviceable. So I guess you're coming down to it and it's like, okay, well, you know, can Wilson just operate an offense and you know, get the ball to George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, and they always have good receivers, and we know they're going to play good defense. And I believe that their line is considered an upgrade over what it has been. And can you just plug Russell Wilson in there to play that safe style of Steelers football? And you probably can. Justin Fields just adds that other wrinkle of like, okay, well, if we're flogging along offensively, which could happen with either quarterback, at least Fields could break one off for us, right? And we know Fields can get a talented receiver the ball like George Pickens because he did that with DJ Moore in Chicago. So I think I would lean Fields. I don't think it's an indictment on Wilson, by the way, either. Wilson is never going to be what he once was. So why can't he just be there, right? Like, why Wilson can be a backup? Why can't he be a backup? That's probably what his skill set. He's probably, you know, if he's a backup, he's one of the better backups in football. Again, his passer rating last year, if you're just looking at that, was fine. I mean, his touchdown to interceptions was 3-1 almost. Well, it's 2.5-1, we'll call it. He completed 66% of his passes, which is a little above league average. He had a quarterback rating just under 100, which, by the way, should, if you want any indicator that quarterback rating is not the ultimate end-all be-all, which I don't think people think it is, but some people might, his quarterback rating was higher than Patrick Mahomes last year, which, again, tells you that that's not that important of a stat, but it is a decent little baseline thing to look at. But game-breaking is where Russell Wilson ain't ever breaking a game anymore, I don't think. Justin Fields can do that. And if I'm Pittsburgh and I know I'm going to be good defensively and I know I'm going to run the crap out of the ball, which they are this year, no matter who their quarterback is, I just kind of like what Fields adds to the offense over Russell Wilson at this point.
Yeah, from a dynamic point of view, it clearly is Justin Fields. You know, you get the bad with the good when you throw Justin Fields out there. But honestly, that's the same thing that you get with Russell Wilson, a different kind of bad. Of course, their games are totally different, but you're going to get the bad with the good with Russell Wilson as well. Going back to your point about why can't Russell Wilson be a backup, I don't know. I mean, I think that part of the backup role you have, it's a different kind of job. It's a different kind of job than what Russell Wilson has ever done before. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have the skill set to be a quality backup in the NFL, But I don't know if he's got the mindset to be a backup in the NFL. I don't know if he's got the personality to be a backup in the NFL. That's going to be the question.
But who cares, right? He's not having that kind of an impact on a roster anymore anyway. You think those guys don't take Russell Wilson seriously? Not as serious as they'd like them to. They're not going to do that even if he's the starter. Like, he's there to do a job now. His time in the league as that sort of presence is gone. That let's ride Broncos country, like, that was the end of that.
And you may be right about that. I don't know if he knows that. I don't know if he's with that.
He may not, but nobody cares, right? You walk in, if I was to tell you right now, Pittsburgh Steelers, who's the leader of that team?
Mike Tomlin is the leader of the team.
Unquestioned, yeah. Right? Not even a question. It's Mike Tomlin. And then if you go to that, it's TJ Watt. If you go after that, like Russell Wilson, if he thinks he was ever going to Pittsburgh to play that role, he's not. He is there to do his job. And it's not normal for the quarterback position, but it's always been that way post Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin leads that team. Mike Tomlin is the headline grabber of that team. It's not going to be Russell Wilson. It's not going to be Justin Fields, quite frankly. And so in an offense where they're going to run it, because they feel like they have two really good running backs and a better offensive line, I think it makes more sense to let Justin Fields be a part of that. But they also, there's also a safety component. Russell Wilson's, he may not do a ton to help you. Like, he may not do a ton to break a game open, but he's also not going to hurt you. Like, he's still a good decision maker back there. He doesn't turn it over. He doesn't do those things. So their quarterback situation is probably the last one standing, right? At this point, that's the last one we don't really know about. And I think it's relevant because I do think they're a contender if they're better at quarterback than they have been. We always sleep on Pittsburgh. They're always there. Pickens is a stud. They have a good tight end. You know, whoever they took at young receiver is going to be good because they always are, and they can play defense. And in a division that's going to be top to bottom the best in football, I think, again this year, the Ravens, I think, are clearly better than the Bengals at this point, on August 19th, better than the Bengals, the Browns, or the Steelers. I don't think it's by much. And I think all of them have an opportunity to be playoff teams. I mean, it's the best top to bottom division in football to me, no question. And I'll take him over Cleveland right now. I will take Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Deshaun Watson stinks, and he's going to stink. So they've got an opportunity. I'm curious to see how they go with this. Do they take the risk and swing big with Fields, or do they play it safe with Wilson? I think their history says they'll play it safe. But I think we suck. Was that yesterday they played that game? That it was not close. And I know it was starters and backups, but Fields was significantly better than Russell Wilson was in the game. Russell Wilson didn't do anything bad. Russell Wilson was 8 of 10 for 47 yards, so maybe that's unfair. I guess I'm being unfair. But, man, Fields ran for 42 yards. Tommy had a 20-yard run. Like, doesn't that sound more dangerous if you're the opposition in Pittsburgh, knowing what they do, to know Fields is back there at quarterback versus Russell Wilson?
I think so, because you it's hard to limit him. It's hard to limit his place on the field. And, I think that you always hope that Fields is going to make a mistake, which he has. That's going to be, part of what the defense has to try to do. But no, Fields opens opportunities up far more than I think Russell Wilson will be able to do for this team.
Russell Wilson's safer, though. He's a better version of what they've had as far as, safety goes. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to go back to the Royals. We'll get you ready for this Angels series. We'll look at tonight's game specifically. Any way we might want to bet that game and look at the series as a whole as they finish up the last soft portion of the schedule for a while. That's next. Sports Daily, Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. We got Royals baseball right here on KFH tonight, hosting the Angels. So it won't be that West Coast late game. When we look at it, Seth Lugo and Carson Fulmer tonight. Royals are too big a favorite to waste your time on the money line, Tommy. But if you give a run and a half, it's still minus 125. At what point with those kinds of run lines do you give? Do you give 2.5? Do you give 3.5 and hope for a blowout? Like, what do you go crazy with it? it's kind of hard to mess with any of that on these kinds of series where you've got a good team and a bad team. I don't know what the appropriate or the like logical baseball way is to go for those. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would go that far, you know, and try to like get 3.5 runs, you know, that have a big blowout like that. Although the Royals offensively have been able to do that over the last several games. But I don't mind the run line here. They're back at home. The bats have been hot. Lugo's on the mound. Now, Lugo hasn't been great. In fact, he was not good at all the last time that he pitched. So, you know, you obviously cross your fingers and hope that, you know, he's able to bounce back from the last outing against Minnesota. But I don't mind the run line here. I'm okay with that. You know, the over has absolutely become kind of an auto bet over the last week-ish or so. So I would continue to ride that as well. In fact, I don't know what the odds are. I don't have it in front of me. But if you were to parlay the run line and the over, I'm guessing you're getting fairly decent odds on both of those, combining them together. So those are a couple of things I would look at. And by the way, and I know we've got a few other things with the Royals to discuss, but we would be remiss. We didn't even mention this guy's name when we were talking about the Royals in hour one. That's pretty good odds right there to do that. I'd be okay with that. But we didn't even mention Dairon Blanco's name in our number one. And Blanco had a weekend of a lifetime for the Royals. I mean, he with grand slam and what he had 3 home runs over the weekend, had like 12 RBIs or something. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And it's he's not been a name that we've called a lot over the course of the season. He had I think 5 RBIs going into this weekend and more than doubled his RBI count after the weekend. So, I would imagine that at least moving forward for the short term, you know, we'll probably continue to see him in lineups.
He had been a guy that was kind of relegated to being a pinch runner. And we wondered about his ability to be a leadoff hitter. It would be wild and outrageous and crazy because his sample size is so low, but he was getting on base early in the year. That's kind of, you know, but that's been a long time ago. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, when you get hot hands like that, you just keep dealing them in, right? You just keep going to it. I don't know if I'd bet it, but yeah, hopefully Blanco. I like Blanco. He's an exciting player. The two things that I usually look at are how deep a starter can get into a game. Lugo, right now, you get plus money if he gets into the sixth inning. So if he goes 6 1/3 or more, you're at plus money there. I think that's always been pretty good with Lugo. With a stretch like this coming up with this, they may be inclined to let him go, but they also, the way that you can get these guys rested is not letting them go deep into a game. So I'm sort of on the fence there. Your auto bet might be the over. My auto bet is just to go Bobby Witt Jr. over 2 bases, 3 or more bases, which again, total bases are like a double is worth 2 bases. And he has just been so white hot that he hits this almost always. Like if you were just doing that in the second post All-Star break, you'd make a lot of money if you were just taking plus 2.5 over bases. So that would be the bet. The series as a whole, you know, the Angels, they're not gonna face bad starting pitching, at least in the first 2 games of this series. Fulmer, Anderson, veterans of this league, you know, they can navigate it. It's one of those things where sort of like the Red series, you just need the offense to like not let up at any point. But if the Angels can at least do a little bit of that, and that's kind of about it, right? They just haven't been very good. They've just flat been really bad team this year. It's been a dreadful season for them. Mike Trout continues to be hurt. But I mean, are we saying sweep it again? I mean, at this point, why not continue this momentum, get a sweep here, see if you can gain a little more ground and move on with your life. Who's to say they can't sweep this series again? I mean, obviously 2 out of 3 is sort of the baseline expectation, but the way they're going right now, I'd say sweep it.
Well, of course, because that momentum has absolutely flipped from where it was about a week ago. We were concerned, at least I was concerned, about where things stood for the Royals after the Twins series. And, you know, basically they had to scratch and claw to get one win to close out that series to at least salvage, you know, winning 1 out of those 3 games against the Twins last week. And it looked like things were maybe starting to falter a little bit and getting concerned about not only the AL Central, but the wild card a little bit because you had hot teams behind the Royals. And then everything just kind of gets flipped upside down with the weekend sweep with the Reds. They play another bad team in the Angels back at home, and you've got Lugo on the bump tonight. So, yeah, I mean, I would say at least for me, I'm looking for a sweep. I think the expectation should be that. And it would be different if it was like, okay, well, the pitching's been really good. We just need the bats to come alive. The last three games, last four games, if you count the finale against the Twins, it's been pretty complete for the most part. I mean, when you've got a 28-3 run differential in the last three games, that's telling you it is a pretty complete team right now. And on top of that, Cleveland is faltering a bit. And so that opportunity is right in front of you. I don't know if you're going to get a better opportunity in the next 3 weeks or so than to take advantage of this series right now.
Well, other than playing them head-to-head. Right.
Right.
So Cleveland's off tonight. But here's the other good news. Boston, they got to play in Houston, right? The Twins have to go to San Diego, and Seattle is in LA taking on the Dodgers. There will be potentially more ground to gain here as well. So that also emphasizes that cushion we talked about. You're going to want some cushion going into what comes after this series. And look, if they stay hot like this, maybe you don't need it. But I just would not count on that based on what we've seen over an entire season. They'll be good to go 500 in those games. So get some cushion now as you make your way through. We'll tell you more about that game again in just a minute and how you can hear that game. Appreciate everybody being here with us today. We're going to come in. Don't forget, Dan Israel joins us tomorrow, Chiefs fans. We're going to start those interviews with the guys right there at training camp every day, at practice every day, the Chiefs Radio Network. So that starts tomorrow. Here we go. Thanks for watching us. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight here on KFH as we wrap up Monday on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.